Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher,
and I'm gonna fuck your boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Hugged.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show.
If you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line is message from a teenage listener. Hi, Corinne and Christina, O, and Mike. I am an 18-year-old avid listener from Connecticut, and I'm here to fulfill your request of emails from teenagers. Oh, yay. Thank you. While I'm legally an adult, I turned 18 in January, and I'm graduating high school in June, so very much still a teenager. I have been a fan of the podcast since my freshman year and have listened to every free episode. Someday I'll get around to paying for everything that I missed, I promise. I listen every week and look up to you both tremendously. I've watched the special multiple times. I've read your book, obviously. Oh, that's so nice. I've also, I've always been a very open person when it comes to talking about sex and reproductive health. I taught the boys more sex ed in middle school than the teachers did. So when I found the podcast, I binge listened. I appreciate hearing from people who are as straightforward about sexuality as I am, more than you know. I am going to school in the fall for social work and plan to become a doula, a lactation consultant, and postpartum counselor. I currently have a really awesome job with Planned Parenthood that has taught me so much about going into the field of reproductive health. It has also taught me a lot about what people my age aren't taught. It is disappointing how much our school system fails us, and I see it in my peer group every day. It doesn't help that the pandemic severely affected the majority of my teenage years. Oh, yeah, that blows. And had made people my age stupider than they should be in high school. If you think COVID changed the adult dating world, you should see what it has done to teenagers. Oh, goddamn. As someone who has always been called an old soul, I can't stand these people. Not saying I'm above being young and dumb, but wow. Social media has had a negative effect on dating for all ages, but high schoolers have never had it any other way. That's true. All we know is a world with social media, making dating much more toxic. Teenage boys suck more than ever before. In fact, they disappoint me so much, I keep a list in my phone of the acceptable ones that I know.
That's so funny.
The list is only about 12 boys, but even some of them are pushing it. I change their rank based off their behavior, and some have been booted from the list altogether. This is such a Corinne move.
I was going to say, that's such a meme move.
Is this a little toxic? Maybe, but hey, let a girl have some fun.
It's your own life. You could do whatever you want.
Yeah, goddamn right. Mm. Being a teenager during the pandemic has given me a very unique high school experience. From online learning to not seeing any of my friends for over a year, I stayed fully remote for a school year and a half. Mm. I changed as a person, but I also saw how the people my age interacted, how the way way people my age interacted has changed to this day. If you guys have any questions about what it's like to be a teenager post-pandemic, I'm more than happy to answer them. I am grateful. I'm a grade 8 oversharer, and I'm not scared to call people on their bullshit. Well, thank you so much for writing. I really appreciate that perspective. And I can't, oh man, I forget about the pandemic. Being in school during that and not having those social years, that's got
to
blow.
Yeah, it's weird just to have like a little bit of a chunk missing from your life.
And the amount of obsessive comparing that I personally did in middle school and high school would have been enough to throw me over a roof had it social media existed when I was that age. I don't know. You guys are going through something very, very unique. And I'm sorry you're our world's experiment right now.
Well, we did. We had MySpace, which was...
Yeah, but MySpace didn't seem toxic in the way that Instagram now does.
I mean, you ranked your friends. That was definitely a problem.
Yeah. I don't know. That never bothered me. And I was very sensitive, more, you know. But yeah, that didn't bother me. MySpace didn't seem toxic at all.
I think the one thing that I can think about, like, because I just worked on this show about MySpace, and so I was like reliving that era of my life. I was probably like 14, 15. And the thing that's weird about MySpace, looking back at it, was the first time that people at our age at that time had the ability to just basically reach out to like anonymous profiles. I was finally
I was in those AOL chat rooms masturbating.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm an adult.
There were girls in other towns that I had not met before or didn't know. They didn't know that I was a loser in high school. So like you kind of have the ability to reach out to these people. And as a parent, I mean, how do you monitor that in a healthy way for your children? Because so many kids, I'm sure, were either abducted or had, like, you don't
think you were going there. I really didn't think you were going there.
You don't think that kids got, like
I don't know,
had their lives fucked up because, like,
I think it's more like people that were, like, catfished into then ending up, like, showing up, and they thought it was going to be, like, another 16-year-old guy who wanted to experiment, and it's, like,
oops, it's a 40-year-old.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of
I
that
think
stuff.
That's, I
oops,
think
he's 42.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did get a revenge boyfriend from MySpace, but that was, like, the only toxic boyfriend or toxic thing that happened to me. I did it, so
right.
I just befriended Dan Byrne.
That's pretty cool.
That's a good way to do it too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And got really into Dane Cook.
The thing that's fucking me up though, when I go on my favorites page on Instagram, it is just all stunningly hot women. I'm like, why?
Mine too.
Why? I know why for you, but
mine
why?
Isn't.
Mine's, why is mine? I
mine's
don't want
stand-up
that.
Comedy and I then would weird love memes.
That. Yeah, and I follow hashtags that are related to like comedy and like our names and all that stuff. And just hot chicks.
I think it's more what you end up interacting with though
and
than what you actually hashtag.
That's what I thought. And so I like don't click on any of that. And then I purposely click on like the puppies.
But
and,
it's also what you talk about too in
so
front
disgusting.
Of your phone. So you talk about hot chicks a lot.
Not really.
Or like makeup or aesthetic things. Cause I was like that.
Makeup maybe.
Cause I was like that. That's definitely triggering your For You page.
Damn. Okay. I gotta turn my phone off. But yeah, I don't know. Then the filters, the fucking filters that make you look
that's
hotter
yeah,
in quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
don't bother me at all. Cause it's all fake. We're all just
right.
Being
I know, but
fake.
I'm saying,
yeah,
I'm not saying they don't bother us now cause we're fucking adults, but as when I'm 15.
Yeah,
no.
Sure.
Oof. I don't really bother me, but yeah,
that would bother me.
Yeah.
That would absolutely bother me. It would fuck me up because I didn't have any example of strong self-esteem growing up. And if I'm left to my own devices and there's a phone in my hand, whew.
Yeah, because I was like, it's just more of it. Because I was like, they were always like, you know, like Britney Spears, they're always, you know, they're photoshopping the cover of her album. I remember that kind of being a thing even when I was
especially her
younger.
That album was very photoshopped.
Everything's
background.
Photoshopped.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They're just like, because that was an era of Photoshop where it was just obvious. Everything looked like it was like brushed onto the picture.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, and I, as a young man, I didn't have an equivalent to that in terms of like the bad body habits that I saw were like I was very into music. I liked the rock stars who were all super skinny. Like I wanted to look like Mick Jagger or something like that.
Yeah,
which you know now seems crazy because he's so ugly. But like the body,
hot. He's ugly hot though.
Yeah, ugly hot. But like those guys were so thin, and at the time, I definitely like 19-ish. I was trying so hard to get super thin, and then I realized after
my ex
the
was
fact
like that
yeah, you watch a few documentaries, and you're like they
you
were all that
heroin.
Thin because they were doing heroin
yeah.
and cocaine. It's
also, I imagine like it's either your body type or you're not. It's not.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
but
it's not your body
that.
Type. But yeah, right. Exactly. You don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, it's rough out there for these kids.
And just being and the other thing is just being inundated with so much stimuli
on a phone. That is when I had a phone in eighth grade, it was fucking Snake and some texting. That was it. That was a gift.
Yeah.
That was such a gift. So yeah, I can't imagine. If there's any other teenagers listening, I've already said I'm really curious about your experience. I'm interested to see what's unfolding for you guys. I have an idea, but that's just my guess from over here, you know?
Sorry, I was like, usually there's a question to answer, and there is no question to answer. It's just something to ponder for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Come see us live if you're done pondering.
Yes, Philadelphia. This is the only thing I want to promote. May 11th, 12th, and 13th. I am headlining Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One of my favorite clubs to perform in. I am recording my album, both shows on the 13th, which is a Saturday. And tickets are at ChristinaHutchinson.com.
Oh, you're not recording every day for the album?
No, I only do two.
Gotcha. Okay.
Or one night, rather.
Right. And then for me, you can check out my other podcast, Without a Country. It is on the Gas Digital Network, but it comes out every Wednesday. We record on Tuesdays, comes out on Wednesdays, so it's very fresh for you. I go over the news. We talk a lot about domestic violence, but, you know, we make it fun. We make it sometimes if there's a documentary about Casey Anthony or Jared from Subway, fucking kids, I'll review that for you. We have a good time. It's me, it's Mike Harrington, all the crew's there, and you can listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts, and also the full video on YouTube. Just click subscribe when you're there. I appreciate it so much. And make sure to follow Guys We Fucked on all the places that you can follow us: Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Guys We Fucked. Without the U in Fucked. And I'm at Philanthropy Gal on all those same things.
I'm at Christina Hutch.
Oh, and I'm also on Blue Sky now at Corinne Fisher.
Yo, what is that?
It's new Twitter.
It's new Twitter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Jack Dorsey.
Do you think it's going to go
well? Oh, it's Jack
well?
Dorsey's thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you see a future in it?
Possibly. I mean, because Twitter is such a mess right now. I think they're going to have to transition. Like, Twitter's ruined. Elon Musk ruined Twitter. It's not fun anymore. It fucking blows. It sucks. So I think it is a it is an interesting step because it's basically just Twitter, but it's
that's nice.
Blue sky.
Yeah. And so, I mean, why not trust the guy that did it in the first place?
Yeah. You know? Oh, I hope he doesn't sell it.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a genius idea to sell someone Twitter and then just remake Twitter.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Just recycle it.
That's like when Taylor Swift was like, she like, so her songs were sold, but then she goes, I'm just going to re-record the same songs because I'm still me.
Right.
And then just going to put Taylor's version in parentheses after all
and
of them.
And the fan base just follows it completely.
Well, of course, because we're going to support fucking Taylor, not Scooter Braun and his goddamn antics. Hello, if you're watching Scooter Braun, please come and make everyone's career better. Scooter Braun, anything you watch and you go, man, this was crazy well done, or like, how did this person skyrocket to fame out of nowhere? In the credits somewhere will Scooter be Braun. Scooter Braun.
Yeah.
Andrew Schultz, Scooter Braun.
Right.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fuck is this guy doing?
Scooter Braun. Demi Lovato, Scooter Braun.
Wow.
That one still needs management.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think she's too much. Some people are just unmanageable, you know? Some people are just unfucking manageable.
Yeah.
Mike, did you go on any dates this week?
I'm sorry.
How many dates did you go on this week?
I just went on one and it was pretty good. Good enough. I mean, nothing like crazy.
Oh my God, these reviews.
Well, I spent a lot of time with you last week, Corinne. We had
we watched
the Knicks together.
Yes.
We had the live stream.
Okay.
We saw Pete Davidson. We did a lot of cool stuff. So.
Sorry, you're dating.
Sorry, I wasted your time.
No, I wasn't saying it like that.
Didn't go on the dates.
Yeah, that's why I was.
But
I was
so busy they weren't bad. You didn't have bad ones.
Nothing bad. I mean, I had one.
I'd rather have a bad one than a mediocre one. To be honest.
Well, it's good enough.
Lots of his comedian. Yes. Yeah.
I would say it was good enough to see this person again. I mean,
oof.
What is that oof?
Because
if someone said that about me, I would never see them again.
And also, like, I've also just never been inclined to see someone again unless I was like really fucking excited about a certain like facet of their personality.
I think there is a...
Like, I think about the dates that I went... I mean, that I went on again, and I was like, yeah, I was, like, in... Like, I was, like, feeling shrapnel in people's backs and shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting situation that I'm not ready to talk about on air yet.
Oh.
We can talk about it off mic. You guys are going to think it's funny when I tell you.
Are we?
Yeah, I think so. But that's why it's, like, there's just a lot of... It's somebody who is like very clinical, and the way they handle logic is sort of like binary in a way.
Oh.
So it's not that anything about it was bad or like unexciting. It's just that the way you're
terrible. This is so weird.
Well, it's like it's a person.
It's just like a dead end.
No, it's not a dead end. It's so hard to explain without giving away like the situation that I don't
want. And I don't want you to.
Wait, I don't want you
to go down our path when and you start were fucking up your dating life.
Dating people, and I know you were also not a huge dater, but did you ever go on a second date where you were like, where you felt like about the first date? And if so, like, what made you go on that second date?
Because I would do this thing when I would swipe. I would tell myself before I swiped, and I didn't end up listening to this, no matter how many times I told myself, only swipe yes on people that move your bones. Like,
that you
like,
would be excited if they match back with
that
you.
That you're like, holy shit, jackpot.
Yeah.
That's the only swipe we're swiping.
Yeah.
And every time I would swipe on like, maybe. You know, I can see maybe he's not that bad.
Because you start like rationalizing with yourself and you go, well, I can't be, maybe I'm being too picky, but it's like, well, you should be too picky.
I know.
So here's, maybe this will help clear it up in some ways.
Well, we weren't even talking about you. We were just talking about us, Mike.
No, I know. That's a fair point. But with...
But let me continue.
Steamroll it.
I go, we were just having a conversation.
Beep, beep.
No,
Mike Train's here.
What are you going to say?
I think what I'm saying, like it's like very clinical and logical. I think that like it's not that the date was bad and I'm not excited about this person, but I think it's just clear to both of us that it's not going to be a relationship and we're just sort of like.
Just one date, huh?
Are you just trying to like. Find someone to fuck this summer?
Me and this woman are like
sort
of.
What's cuffing called in the summer?
Well, it's not cuffing because we're not. Cuffing is when you're actually like with dating somebody.
Yeah. No, I thought cuffing was like you're cuffing my fuck buddy for the winter.
Well, cuffing season is when people get into relationships before right before the yeah. weather gets cold out. There is no cuffing in summer. It's a lawless. It's hot girl summer.
Yeah. The summer is the Wild West.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's the thing with this person.
Which is funny because I much prefer to be in a relationship in the summer because then you go on trips with someone.
Yeah.
And in the winter, I don't want someone just walking around my apartment.
Yeah. In your space and shit.
No.
Yeah.
I would love to be a lone girl. Winter.
Yeah. A lone girl winter.
Yes. That sounds
blanket on the couch winter.
Yeah. Put that on a t-shirt.
Hang out with my dog winter.
Drink hot chocolate and shit.
Mm-hmm. Watch movies. Like, I don't really need someone
summer's
around.
Summer's better for relationships, I think.
I don't like when things feel like, because then
do you go to the beach together.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Cuffing season, like, that's just like a way to get for the relationship to get boring at an really, really quick pace.
Right.
Because you're going to start being in sweatpants around each other all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why it's cuffing season, because eventually the season ends and then you get out of the relationship and shed the skin, you know?
Yeah. You take a shower.
A real relationship starts in the summer.
That's right. I think you're right about that. When things are exciting and you're still making the choice to be with this person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes. I agree. Okay. So it's going.
Oh yeah, with this woman, it's just like there are some cultural differences that I think we're just not going to like. It kind of restricts us from taking it seriously as a.
Oh okay, like, so it's like if she, for example,
but then why did you start?
So she's really Jewish, hot. And you know, her parents only want to marry a Jewish person, and she's going to abide by that.
Yes, it's literally that. It's
so
not,
you're
going to
fuck
Jewish,
her because she's really hot.
She's super hot. She is fun to be around, but it's like I think we're both going into the situation as like we're going to explore this as like sort of a casual thing where we'll kind of mess around and whatever.
Yeah,
and like we enjoy each other's company. She's gorgeous. And that's like good enough for me because it's out front. Like the
Mikey,
expectation
good
is
enough for me.
No, it's just like
right. Well, you can both be up front and
yeah. It's like it's not going to stop me from going on dates with other people. And it's not going to stop her from going on dates with other people. But like we have this common ground of, you know, we like to do this.
I would be naked in front of you, perhaps. Kind of vibe. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I'm good with it.
Hey, sex is a physiological need.
Yeah.
Get yours.
Yeah.
Get yours.
Right.
That's great. How are you doing?
I started that topic so that we didn't have to talk about that.
You got it. Let's get on to our guest then, guys. He's from London, and I'm not going to say it with an accent because I'm not a dick. He's a stand-up comedian. He's originally from the UK. My bad. And he's the host of Have a Word podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Adam Rowe.
Happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
We are here with stand-up comedian, podcaster extraordinaire, England resident, born and raised, Adam Rowe. Happy to have you, Adam. Thanks for coming.
Thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah. We have a lot in common, and one of them is we were sued by our exes. Isn't that fun?
I wasn't sued. I was
threatened.
I was informed that might happen.
Oh, I guess that's what happened to us, technically.
Well, because
he tried to get money out of us.
We were like, we were presented with documents
from a lawyer,
and then we got a lawyer, and then we I want to say retaliated. That's not the word. We gave them him a response, and then he goes, "Yeah, I don't want to do that."
Yeah, he asked for a large amount of money, and we agreed to a much smaller with some stipulations. And he said, "No, I don't want your free money." And I was like, "Okay."
Well, the stipulations included to please stop calling yourself a role on the show that you did not have.
Right. So did you, I got a phone call from Corinne when that happened. She rarely like calls. We just always text. And she goes, "Are you sitting down?" And I was like, "Ooh, is it good or bad?" And she's like, "It's not great." I'm like,
"Who's ever called someone and said that and then given good news?"
You know what? I'm so optimistic that I'm like, it's possible that you're going to tell me I just got my TV show. And then she told me that, and I was heartbroken. But in your situation, did you expect it?
No, I didn't expect it at all. So
were you heartbroken? Was it
so the thing we're talking about, I released a special last month called Juicy. It's on YouTube. If you just search my name and Juicy, it'll come up. And because of what happened, I have to say that Juicy is a fictional story that was inspired by real life events.
Yeah. Allegedly, Chad. Chad's our lawyer.
Yeah, we always have to say allegedly.
Say allegedly, baby, because you don't know.
So you can just pepper that in at any time you want.
And keep riffing it off.
You're covered, yeah.
So this is my third time in New York. Last time I was here was January of 22. And while I was here, I found out that the girl I was dating at the time, she was with me. And I found out while she was sat a yard away from me, she'd been stealing. She'd been...
Oh, wow. She was like physically right by you. You found this?
Yeah, I noticed something and it was immediately suspicious, like a bank transaction.
Ah.
And her explanation just didn't add up. She hadn't thought it through because she was a bit drunk. Oh. Can you imagine if you'd been stealing and you know someone's about to find out, how much you'd panic?
I would run away.
Yeah.
Physically, I would just run down the street.
But so she had nowhere to go.
I just wouldn't hang out with the person I was stealing from.
Yeah, that's another thing.
That would be my first order of operation.
Right. And usually women are better at being sneaky about just anything, but she doesn't seem like she was good at it.
No, and then I started doing the story on stage because like a comic, it's a typical comic thing. You have something bad happen to you that makes you feel shit. Yeah. You go, well, I'm going to make something out of this.
It's a bit.
Yeah. And I wanted it to be a bit. I thought this is going to be 15 minutes. That'll go into a tour show. But a friend of mine seeing it, like another comic, and he was like, that needs to get longer, not shorter. This is a storytelling show. And then I got contacted by a lawyer who was like, you're breaching my client's privacy. So they had a ridiculous list of demands,
of
demands.
Can you list any of
them? How'd she
allegedly
have money for a lawyer if she didn't have money to buy clothes?
That was the thing is she did have money to buy clothes. Like the stealing was such self-sabotage and unnecessary. It was so stupid.
It was like Winona Ryder, like just for the thrill of it.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Role research.
And also it was like very low. I don't want to give away the items, but it was like, if you're going to steal and like steal put yourself cash at risk, like
buy a car.
Yeah, like, steal something bigger.
Yeah. It was so ridiculous. And that's what made it impossible to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because like if it was something important, I could get my head around it and be like, oh, she stole that because she couldn't afford it and she something she really wanted. And
it's like Aladdin style then. It's like we feel empathy for this person.
Yeah, they're so insane.
They need to steal
the items.
Yeah.
Especially the last one, which is the last line of the show.
Right.
Like, you're just like, this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So the list of demands was insane. It was like, you know, stop telling this story.
Stop telling the truth about what I did.
A pinned apology on Twitter.
Oh, God.
For a year.
A year?
Oh. Yeah. And I was like, right, so.
That's so funny.
And they love that. The money thing, like, obviously lawyers cost a lot of money. And I spoke to a good one and got one on my side. And he was like, is she like privately wealthy? And I was like, no. And he went, because if she's intending to take this to court, she's literally risking 200 grand.
Wow.
Like, if this goes to court, it'll cost you both 200 grand. And then whoever loses will pay 70% of the winner's fees.
Yeah.
So that's what you guys are gambling if this goes to court. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Right. So the compromise we come up with was that I would change details, make it a fictional story based on real life, and that I would say it is fictional because it is.
Wow.
Jesus. Wait one second. Go like those because I don't want to.
Oh, have a booger.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want that for the whole video.
Is it gone?
Clipping
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Thanks, girl.
That's a clip.
But like, there's not many things that comics care about apart from the right and the freedom to talk about what we want.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's our whole living.
And
yeah.
But when people don't want you to talk about a story involving them, it's because they did something shitty and they don't want to deal with what they did. And that's why for my ex-boyfriend, his punishment for trying to sue us is that I'll never stop fucking talking about it. Because that's a pathetic move. Very pathetic. Did you talk, and tell me if you went over this in the special and you don't want to re-bring it up, but when you found out when she was like a couple yards away from you, were you like, hey, honey, quick quesh? Like,
so initially I wasn't suspicious. Initially I was just like, there's a transaction here and I don't know what it is.
Right.
Because it was for Urban Outfitters and I just don't shop there. Mm-hmm. It's just not somewhere.
Right.
And
also, that store is for like 18-year-olds.
Yeah, totally.
It's for children.
Well, I'll tell you what she bought and it gives away the title of the special. So the special is called Juicy because the first thing I found out about.
It's Juicy Couture.
She bought a tracksuit.
Yeah. Juicy tracksuit. That's so funny.
They're making a comeback, babe.
They are. Well, your butt looks really good.
I'm making sure they fucking don't.
It was so New Jersey of her.
Well, they were like in like 2008 to 2010.
Yeah, it's like J-Lo
in Liverpool.
And hoops.
They were like, yeah, this is a big thing. But then it became like an item of ridicule. That's the thing, that the first thing I found out about.
And you didn't put it together yet?
No. So I didn't know that that's where she bought her tracksuit from. But she immediately told me.
Oh.
So she went, that's weird because that's where I got my Juicy trackie from.
Oh, that's how she said it?
And I went,
that's hilarious.
Right.
Women and are she usually got, better
I went,
at
so why have you used my car for that? And she went, your card's saved on my phone from when we've booked stuff together and I've just
which
clicked
is an,
it.
It could be an honest mistake.
Accidentally.
Yeah,
because I've done that. Like my friend and I share an Amazon and like I've definitely put stuff on her card but then immediately like realized it and Venmo'd her.
Totally. And we do that like with the podcast we do back home. We've got like a company card and that's linked to, because when we're having like a company night out or like we order like takeout to the studio, like there's a company card that pays for it. And sometimes I've like just been at home and used like Uber Eats and I've accidentally used the business card and it just, you know what I mean? But I accepted an excuse until I remembered. So a couple of days before we came to New York, we were sat watching the Liverpool versus Chelsea football game. Mm. And while we were watching that, she said, I've just bought myself a Juicy tracksuit and I used Klarna. You know, like the installment thing.
Okay, yeah,
Because that's the one thing I didn't know what it was. But you pay it like it's a like pay a quarter.
You pay in thirds. So if something's $150, you would pay $50 today. Yeah. In a month, another $50. It's interest free.
Yeah,
it's basically a way that companies can get poor people to buy their shit.
Yeah,
and sort of spread it. And that was such an unnecessary part of the lie, because if she'd have just said, oh, "I've just bought myself that tracksuit," then I'd have never put this together.
Wow.
But because she said that, and I remember we were sat in the hotel. What's really strange is being back in New York, I've accidentally hit everywhere we went.
Shit.
So that's the beauty of the city.
I know.
We were staying in the Moxie that is next to this building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we were staying round the corner.
Yeah.
So like I got out here before and I was like, oh shit, this is where we are.
New York will break your heart every step of the way if anything bad has ever happened
to you. It's given me such closure though. Like I thought the special gave me closure, but like walking around and just accidentally seeing places, I didn't realize, like, not to sound like a whinging like rat about everything, but I didn't realize how, like, I was just like so miserable and sad last year.
Yeah.
And seeing those places, and I'm walking past places where I'm like, oh, I remember how I felt sat in there. Like, you know, the chain of breakfast places, Jack's Wife Frida.
Yeah.
So the one opposite Google.
Yeah.
I walked past that and I was like, oh shit, that's where we went for break. And I remembered like being in there trying to put a brave face on and enjoy New York.
Even Jack has a wife and I don't know.
So Ben Freed is real nice and doesn't steal, allegedly.
And yeah, it's been really, like, I've been out here on my own for a week. And I, like, this has been the best. I mean, I've done a bit of work while I've been out here, but it's essentially been a vacation.
Nice.
And it's been the best solo trip I've ever had.
Good, I'm glad. When you did confront her, what'd she say? She just kept...
She just said, like... So I was a bit of a dick about it because I was like, right, I've sort of got a loaded gun now and she doesn't know that I've figured this out yet.
Right. Oh God. Oh, what a power position. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so you just used it accidentally? She's like, yes, you know. And I went, but you said you used Klarna. And she goes, oh yeah, I thought I did. And I went, no. If you use Klarna, you have to fill out a form. And you said it immediately after ordering it, sat in the pub. You didn't say this today when I questioned you. We're sat in the pub and you said, I've bought a tracksuit, I use Klarna. Back-to-back sentences.
Yeah.
You would have known in that moment whether you'd just filled a form in. It wasn't, I thought I've just used Klarna.
You gotta put the card info. Yeah, yeah,
And then there was just a look on her face of, oh, he knows.
Wow.
And she went, yeah, sorry, I've used it. And then
and then your relationship, that in that moment your relationship can never be the same.
It would never be the same. I found out there was I portray it slightly differently in the special because for the narrative it made more sense, but like that night I found out she bought makeup as well. She admitted to one more thing. She's like, I bought makeup. And then like throughout the trip I was trying to just be like, we'll deal with this when we get home, let's enjoy New York,
right?
But occasionally I'd just get like really angry and just upset. And I was like, when did you buy the makeup? And she's like, oh, I don't know. It turns out she bought the makeup on Boxing Day.
Okay.
But I'd gotten her a makeup gift card for Christmas.
What the fuck?
So the day after getting a £300, so Selfridges is like a department store, I suppose it's like Saks in the
so
UK.
So nice, yeah.
I got her a Selfridges gift card because I was like, I don't want to fuck up and get the wrong shade of makeup.
Yes.
So you just go to Selfridges, the makeup store that you love going to.
Yeah.
You go and get whatever you like. I hate giving gift cards. I think it's an unthoughtful present.
Yeah.
But she wanted makeup and I was like, I'm not going to fuck this up. So you can just go, we'll go and have dinner in Manchester where there's a Selfridges and you can use that and we'll go out for a nice date night and stuff like that.
That's cute if you go together to use it. Yeah.
Totally. And then the next day, that gift card is on the coffee table. And we're sat watching the TV on Boxing Day. And that's when she...
Wow. Why? Did she say why she did it?
She just goes, I didn't think you'd miss it. She goes, she goes,
your money?
She's then like...
People do have that mindset though. They think because you have enough that they can just take some of it. And I go, well, that's not...
What?
That doesn't
that's
make sense.
Wild.
The thing is though, like, without sort of blowing my own trumpet too much, I'm a pretty generous partner. And if someone... Okay. And especially, like, and I talk about this in the special, I'm watching the football. My attention is, it's hard to get it off a game.
So if
she'd have sat there and gone, hey, babe, I really want this tracksuit. Would you mind if I just used your card to get it and I'll pay you back in a few weeks or a few months? I'd have been like, do whatever it takes to stop you talking while I'm watching the fucking game.
This is good for any of your future girlfriends to know how to scam you, but with your consent.
Wow.
Yeah, totally. Like, it was so easy.
The game.
But like, when you find out what the... I'll tell you when we're done recording. I won't ruin it in case anyone wants to watch it. Yeah. Obviously, Corin has. But like, the other three things. So when we got home, I found out there was more to it.
She bought more stuff.
And the other, like the first two, the tracksuit and the makeup, I can just about get my head around.
Yeah.
And I think given a bit of time and the right sort of like penance, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. That just sounds like blowjobs.
Yeah, totally. Give me a week of them and we're good. I probably could have got over those two.
Right.
The other three are so stupid.
Yeah.
That it became impossible.
It's weird. Yeah. And at that point, it's weird. Like, now you're weird. What are you doing?
The other
are you
three
okay?
Are, so,
are you mentally
so,
okay?
Well, the other three are so stupid that she couldn't possibly have been mentally okay. It's such clear self-sabotage and they were always going to be caught.
Right. Wow. And that's so disheartening. Like when it was revealed that she was stealing and then it was revealed that she was suing you for talking about allegedly stealing from her, from you. Can you look back on that relationship and go,
Yeah. When you come out of it, you go, oh, there was a few problems.
Some red flags.
Anyway. And, you know, we got to a point where it probably wasn't going to last forever anyway.
Right, right. How long had you been together at that point?
We broke up on our 1 year anniversary.
Ooh, cute. Happy anniversary.
Awful.
It's interesting because so when you found out about this this alleged stealing, did it make you also think that she was never with you because she really liked you? Because you talk about how hurt you are, and it's like that's where my head, I've definitely not for money, but I've definitely looked back on a like relationship and been like, did this person ever even like me, or were they just with me because I'm a lot more famous in my field, and they're in the same field and they want to be more famous?
It's a thought that definitely crosses your mind.
Yeah,
but then I look back at like early parts of the relationship where I was like, you know, I sort of the success of my career happened quite quickly and while we were together.
Mm.
So like our podcast sort of blew up in 2021. Mm-hmm. Like it started in 2020 and it was doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But like in that year it went like our Patreon numbers went through the roof and yeah. we started getting recognized on the street and getting booked for big shows and TV and stuff. That we were, I wasn't the person she stole from when we met.
Mm, okay.
So as much as you can go, is she just with me for this?
Sure.
I didn't have that when we met. So there was there was something at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just.
How did you meet? Was it related? Did you meet like after a gig?
Tinder.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a swipe.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe she, is this person, allegedly a person, in the entertainment industry at all?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, so there's no even. Yeah, because my ex that sued us, he watched me be so broke when we were first together, like so broke. And then I was making money finally and I was so proud of myself. And then when he went to sue us, I was like, dude, you watched me. You watched me come up and cheer me on. And then something happened that hurt your feelings. And your reaction to that was a lawsuit. It's just wild. It's really, how have you tried to date since?
I've got a girlfriend now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was quick. Classic male. You just look to your left and you're like, hey, what's up? It's a real Lewis Capaldi move. I'm so sad. I'm singing about the girl who hurt me while I have my new model girlfriend next to me. We all feel so bad for you.
Can I cry in your tits?
What's her reaction to you like you know, running all over town telling this story about your ex?
I think, I don't think she loved it.
Yeah.
I don't think she's like, well, I'm really glad you're doing this.
Yeah, I don't think every
partner of a comedian.
That was a trap question.
But like when we first met, I just started working on this story. So I was like, look, just so you know, I am doing this and I need to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
otherwise, like this is how I get, this is my therapy. Some people go to therapy and pay hundreds of dollars an hour.
Not men.
Comedians charge people to get their therapy.
Yeah. Thank you for admitting that.
And she's incredibly supportive. She's great. We've been going out since October.
Nice.
Crazy.
A woman who's supportive of a man gone rogue. That's never heard of that before. Of that.
What an American love story.
How did you guys meet?
She followed me on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and she was on private. And I
she said, "I need a trackie."
I heard this is the place to get tracksuits.
Can I get a juicy couture from you, sir?
I followed her back. She was on private, so I couldn't really see her picture. She looked a little bit like a girl I used to work with, so I thought it was her. And then I followed her and was like, "Oh no, it's not." Slid in a couple of weeks later. I was sort of waiting for an opportunity, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. What was your opener?
So she put something on her Instagram story, like about hangovers. And I just replied like, hey, I'm hungover today. And isn't that relatable? And then we just stopped.
So simple.
What so a simple. Beautiful meet cute. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's beautiful. What do you want to get married in your life? Like, do you want to like?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always seen that in my future. It's weird when you sort of get to, so I'm 31 now and you get to sort of your 30s and you feel like, when I was like 16, I thought I'd have kids and be on the way to getting married by now.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, that's the specific order you thought it would be in?
I'm from Liverpool. First? That's what happens.
Oh, wait, really? People have kids first and then they get married?
I mean, a lot of the time, yeah.
Really?
Like,
interesting.
It's not always, because there's a lot of unplanned pregnancies.
Oh. Do you
know good what I mean? That's
Liverpool.
Not
like people's life plan. It's not like, right, let's get four kids out the way.
Yeah.
Get them
yeah.
off to college and then we'll lock this down.
Yeah.
It's just someone gets pregnant and they go, oh, we're going to have it.
Yeah.
And then they get married.
I like that even like knowing that you're like, that's still aspirational. That's the goal.
Do you know about the abortion laws in England?
I don't know about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, like yeah. What are they? Like, are is it easy access? Like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
That?
It's like you can do it in your lunch break. Like, it's just an afternoon.
Are there protesters out in the clinics?
No,
is that
it's
only
like,
an American thing.
The UK, like parts of Ireland and Northern Ireland, are still, you know, there's religious factions of Catholics and then Protestants who will argue a lot. But the main, like England and Scotland, and England especially, there's not loads of religion anymore.
Okay.
So people don't really give a shit.
Wow.
It's sort of seen as like, oh, she's getting an abortion. Oh, is she? She doesn't want the kid. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Like there's obviously some absolute, like the extreme right of the UK is what you would call a moderate conservative in America.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You guys go much further right further left than
do.
The UK does. The UK is quite a centrist.
Okay.
Like even a Tory, and I hate them, but like they're a lot more closer to the centre of politics than like the Republicans.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah. So there's more of like an agreement. That's why it's easier for your country to agree, because there's not such a spectrum of political
like
views.
Our conservatives, you know, yeah. Like most conservative MPs, the members of parliament, will be in support of gay marriage. Like most of them.
That's nice.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And most of them will be like, yeah, it's a woman's body, she can get.
Right. Because it's all, because the people that claim it's about religion, they're fucking full of shit. It's about controlling a woman's body. It's about, totally. It's about like, because if you really cared about children's lives, you would, you know, figure out gun control and health care, like child care for women in the United States and families. But they don't. Okay, so that's nice. So people just having babies, they could prevent the baby, but they're not, and they're just having them. And
yeah, I think a lot of girls, like sort of where I'm from, they always see kids in their future. So when they get pregnant, they
like,
tend
to. Yeah, I was going to do it like, anyway.
I didn't need to schedule it, just whenever it happened.
Yeah, it's also not a hold all. Obviously, some people do go through with it and they're just like, no, I'm getting rid of it. And it's just not seen as like a. It's not the contentious topic of conversation that it is over here.
Right.
It's just so like, right, you're having a baby. Are you keeping it? Are you getting rid of it? And obviously, there's the trauma that comes with either side of that. Having a child or going through an abortion is difficult for anyone involved. But. It's not seen as the big, like, there's no morality to it, really.
Right.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Well, yeah, because I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of male stand-up comedians in America, two of them being like Louis C.K. and I think Chris Rock talked about abortion in his latest special, and they talk about like the murder of a baby. But I was thinking about it and I was like, you're not really murdering a baby, you're preventing a baby.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that and get that off my chest. So you're welcome.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, a lot of times these, like, you know, these hardcore Catholics don't even believe in birth control. So, like, they think that even, like, taking the birth control pill is, like, kind of, like, murdering a baby because you're stopping it from the egg and the sperm.
Oh, my God. It's so exhausting. America is really exhausting. I have conversations about this a lot. And that's why I love going to other countries, because you just, the vibe of the people seems chiller. And you're like, why is that? And it's like, oh, it's because if they get hit by that car, car. They don't have to worry about their life savings being drained. Like, yeah, healthcare is crazy.
The healthcare over here is absolutely insane. The gun thing is insane.
Crazy. And yet, New York City is your favorite city in the world.
It is.
Woo, like, woo, it's pretty great.
But it's pretty great. Because you've got so many nice places to
eat.
Yes,
worth the risk. Yeah.
Like, your sandwiches make up for your insane government.
Yeah. Thank you.
Don't I know it? Because that's the bottom line. Because it's like, I agree there's a lot of problems in America. But I was like, anytime I talk to someone from a different country, I go, you're still here, are you not?
Yeah.
Still here.
Yeah. It is, but it is the freedom to pursue whatever you want, like creatively and stuff like that. And,
yeah,
and
fame means nothing in any other country. If you're really only doesn't. Famous in any country but America, no one cares.
For that, you know, I'll never move. But yeah, how about sex education? Like, did you have that and what was it like?
Yeah, we had it in school. You know, the teacher would, you know, bring a banana in, put a condom on it and go, do this with your cock. And
she said cock.
Anyway,
I hope she said cock.
She probably did, to be honest with you. Like, the school we went to was so, like, we talk about it a lot on our show.
Just lawless.
Like, our school was insane. Like, there's six convicted murderers from my year.
Wow.
How many kids were your graduating class?
There's probably like 300 kids in the year.
That's a high percentage.
So,
300
yeah.
are murderers.
Yeah.
Did you know any of them?
Yeah, I knew all of them.
Did you? Are you surprised by any of them?
I'm surprised by like two, and the others you're like, that, yeah, you can always see that coming.
Like, wow. What kind of murder are you talking? Like, you know, like a breaking and entering, and then you kill someone,
or like murder your wife,
or like a first degree planned.
So there was
murder.
A girl shot like a couple of months ago in a suburb of Liverpool, and so this guy broke in. He'd had an argument with the girl's partner. He wasn't there, but he just walked in shooting, and she caught the bullet, and she was dead.
Oh, wow. My God.
There was an armed robbery of a bank. Not a bank, but like somewhere where there's a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And a shotgun. He's in prison for life. His like sister was in my psychology class.
Okay. Wow.
Like, it's so insane.
Wow, but, that's a lot of murders.
Six convicted murders from our year. And it's not like Liverpool's like this murder capital of Europe. It's quite rare, but for some reason,
they all went to
my school. Like, our school was so strange because you had like really intelligent people. It was also a specialist sports college.
Okay.
So like there was a lot of people who've gone on to play football, not necessarily in the Premier League, but like the lower leagues of English football. And there's a lot in the MLS who've come to America or gone to Europe. A lot of sports players, a lot of like guys who were just a bit rough, and then there was me and my mates. We were quite intelligent but like fucked around a bit, and then you had the nerdy kids. It was
but so sex ed, they just condom on a cock.
Yeah, it wasn't very detailed. It was just like, right, this is what you do with a condom so that you don't get someone pregnant, and try and ask permission first, and that's the end
and ask for permission. If you remember it, ask her if she wants to fuck you before you fuck her.
And we were until sixth form, which is supposed to be like your age of 16.
Okay.
So the first 5 years of high school, you run to 16. And then after that, we call it sixth form before you go to university.
Okay.
That is when it became mixed sex. But like before that, it was all boys.
Oh, God.
So from the age of 11
school?
To 16. Sorry?
Is that public school you're talking about?
Like, yeah, it's public school.
Public school. Wow. How did you like that? Maybe that's why they're all murderers. They weren't around pussy enough.
So there was my school right here. And then there was a path, maybe the size of this room.
Oh.
And then right next to it was an all-girls school.
Oh, okay. So
and then they would release all of us at 3 p.m. onto the same
to
path.
To fuck.
And
just
the
pent-up
sexual tension as two schools meet
in
a room this size.
Right.
And there's 300 per year, and there's like 6 years in each school.
Wow.
So you're looking at like thousands of pent-up children.
Yeah.
It seems like you're making it actually worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of sexual activity happening in your like middle school, like grade school years? Like, you know, like my school had like the people that got like, you know, the 13-year-old that got fingered first in the basketball court, you know.
And
like,
we all knew.
Yeah, everyone's talked about it.
No, because, I mean, people were dazed and like they'd be seeing girls from the other school and stuff, but like you couldn't do it during school because we were segregated.
Right. Huh. Interesting.
But then at sixth form, when we were 16, that's when everyone became mixed and...
Do you feel like you could concentrate better because there wasn't gals in your classes?
No, because it just becomes like who can be the funniest
class
or the hardest, like
hardest.
The toughest, like like people are always trying to fight with each other, cause trouble, pick on each other, make each other laugh.
Yeah,
it was a jungle.
Mm. I think the girls' school probably things were going well.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to ask them.
Like I've got absolutely
no insight into it whatsoever, but I don't know anyone who's gone on to like run the country from Broughton Hall School, yeah, to be honest with you.
Damn. One day. One day your class of murder is going to be a class of leaders. We'll see. How slutty do you get?
What sort of
scenario?
Promiscuous,
like sexually adventurous, or like, are you more prude sexually, or do you like?
No,
you
I'm pretty open.
You get your dick wet often, you know, when you're single.
Like, what's your kink?
My kink is like fancy dress. It's like Halloween's a fucking nightmare for me.
Are you serious?
I'm genuinely.
A fancy dress?
Wait. So do you mean like a character, ball gown? Like role play, or just like literally like a ball gown?
I don't even need it to be role play, but you know like Halloween, like you might dress up as like a slutty cat?
Yeah.
That's the best thing in the
so
world.
So costume. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Fancy dress, that's what I mean.
Oh, we thought you literally meant like a
carpet gown.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, so this is the language barrier between the UK. Fancy dress is costume in the UK.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So Halloween
fancy dress is fancy dress.
We're not talking about top hat and tails. Yeah. I just mean like...
That's why we looked at you like, okay. Yeah, I'm like, you can't go anywhere.
Don't take this guy to prom. He's going to have an election.
Yeah. Any sort of costume is just, I don't know what it does.
Wow. Okay. Makes sense. That makes sense. Have you integrated costumes in your sex life?
I have, yeah.
Our podcast
is sponsored by a company called Love Honey.
They
send us everything. Every product they release, they send us. And
that's a lot of products.
Oh, it's insane. We've got so many dildos
closet.
In our room.
Yeah. Oof, gosh. As a woman coming over your house, I'd be like, there we go. I'm going to run, turn right round.
Yeah.
So how soon into a relationship, like, has new girlfriend already gotten into fancy dress?
My rule that I've been given by her for our relationship is I can't talk about specifics of our sex life.
That's fair.
So what
that's
I'll
healthy.
Have to say
She learned the hard way. Yeah.
I've in relationships in the past, I've sort of when they like, because women tend to like a few months into a relationship, they're like, right, what's gonna make you want me more than anything in the world? Like they really wanna find out what makes you tick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always just straight away. I've got no embarrassment about it. I'm just like, let's do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go and buy this costume and do this.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We might as well fucking enjoy it.
She's a fictional character.
But do you ever ask the woman that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I from my experience, women tend to be a bit shyer about it. So if you're quite new and you're like, so what are you into? They're like, oh, I don't know. I'm not really into much. It's just normal stuff. And then I'm like, okay. And then I'll wait until
she's got a conversation. Dog collar on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Normal stuff, yeah.
But I'll do pretty much anything.
Yeah? Have you ever said no to something?
Yeah, a girl wanted to fuck me in the ass.
Have you ever had a finger up there?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
When not executed properly, I'd imagine it's.
I had a moment last year when I was single, so I took a girl back to my apartment, and we're having sex. And if I'm drunk, I will struggle to finish.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes, like girls take that as an insult, and they're like, "No, I'm going to get the fucking job done."
Oh,
so this girl
makes it way
was
worse.
Just going to town. She's just like, "I'm going to get this done," she's got me in her mouth and stuff. And then she started rubbing her finger on my arsehole.
Yeah,
to go like, huh?
Uh-huh.
And then I went,
yeah.
And she lifted her hand up, snapped off her false nail, threw it across the room, and then put her finger right up my ass.
Wow. That was honestly very nice of
That's
her.
That's so Jersey.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a very confident move because she didn't break eye contact. She's just like,
yeah, I love that.
And then
I love that.
Yeah, I never seen her again.
She didn't call you back? Or you just,
I
you
just
kind
left
of parted
it.
Ways.
I'm
yeah, you both
like,
were
yeah,
like,
think,
all right, that happened. And,
yeah. I feel like that's got. That we needed another week. You know what
right,
I mean?
right.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy the finger up your butt?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something I'm like, can we do this, please?
Right.
But if a girl's into it and she likes to do stuff like that, then I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But the strap on was too much. I used to do a stand up bit about it, especially because when we had the conversation, this was with the next girlfriend. She was like, how do you feel about me fucking you in the ass? And I was like, not good, to be honest.
Yeah. Fair.
And, then she was like, but you know, I've done it before. It's great. And you know, I've got the thing. And I was like, you've already got it.
Yeah. I'm not going to. Yeah. You got to buy a new one.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, we're getting a new one. She was like, but I've cleaned it. I was like, it doesn't.
Technically. Yeah.
There isn't enough
fine,
soap
but,
in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
To have.
For your own peace of mind.
I know that's my insecurity. I know it's my problem because like.
It's also fair.
It's also like kind of like, I don't know, like on an emotional level, it's like I wouldn't want someone else's engagement ring.
Right. So it's kind of got, you know, it's got the other guy's butt juju on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just energetically.
Here the argument was, well, your cock has been inside other people and I have that in me.
Right.
So what's the difference with this? And I was like, because I can't get a new cock.
Exactly. If I could get a new pussy every time, I would definitely switch it out.
Yeah.
All the toxicity on this one. If I could get a new one, that would be actually incredible.
Yeah. Biodegradable, baby. Mm-hmm. Just throw it right around.
Yeah.
Fucking a guy in the ass with a strap on. I've done it once. It is
your idea or his?
Kind of both of ours.
Ours.
We've been together for we are a unit. And then we already kind of done stuff. And so he was curious and I was like, I want to fucking know what this feels like. And I didn't like there is this sense of, and maybe it's like just culturally so ingrained in me, but there is a sense of like, I'm the dude if I'm fucking you.
Yeah.
Even though like as a woman, like my favorite position is being on top, like, you know, but when you got a thing that you're sticking in somebody, it's different.
Yeah. And I think like, and I know again, it's my insecurity, but it's emasculating just a bit and I don't want to be. Mm.
Yeah.
I know that's my issue, but like just being fucked, just
I don't know what it is. Take it like a man, baby. You know?
Yeah, because I was like, it's manly. Gay guys don't feel emasculated when they're being fucked.
I absolutely know that. Yeah. I accept. I know that it's my
it's
issue,
vulnerable.
But it is there, and I can't do anything.
But I also don't think that you. I'm also not into fucking guys with strap on.
It's also vulnerable being penetrated in any way by a finger, by a cock, by a strap on, by anything. Like it's just a more vulnerable. When you're being penetrated, it's just it's a different thing. Interesting. What's the most sexually adventurous thing you've done? The getting fucked thing was pretty good.
The what?
The getting fucked, well, talking about the finger in the.
Yeah. But. I mean, outside stuff, sort of at like social events, we've just nipped off and like at a party, you nip off and you're like, just the idea that you could get caught, even though you really don't want to.
Right.
It's just so anything that makes sex feel a bit.
High stakes.
Naughty.
Yeah.
It just adds to it.
Are there sex clubs in Liverpool? You're from Liverpool?
So a friend of mine goes to sex clubs in London.
Okay.
Like, I was like London parties. Definitely has them.
Yeah. They have the box. They have sex clubs. Have you been to a sex club? Oh, okay.
My vibe.
What did your friend describe? Did your friend describe this sex club to you?
Yeah. She just said she goes in and there's just men and women just naked. And then one of them will just lock eyes and they'll be like, do you want to go over here and fuck? And they'll fuck for a bit and then they'll go, okay, cool. I'm going to go and find someone else. And they just.
Wow. Straightforward. I
yeah,
like that.
It's great. That's not me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm. There's definitely a lot of insecurities in me, but like, I couldn't. If I was single, maybe, but like with my partner, when people go to things like that with their partner, no one, my partner's in another room with another guy. I just can't.
Right. Well, yeah, that's some people go partnered up and they're like, we're not going to fuck anybody else except each other, you know, in front of people or whatever, next to people, whatever. But yeah, I guess some people, that's like straight up swinging, really.
Yeah, I if I'm with someone, we're together and we're just.
What is your deepest insecurity?
Ooh. I haven't thought about that before.
Asking the tough questions.
I suppose it's probably, as a comic, it's humor.
Yeah.
Like, if one of my partners was like, oh, like, my ex was, like, the funniest guy I've ever met, I'd be like, well, we're going to break up now, and you can just go back him. Like, I can't be...
Wow.
I can't be the professional comic who's number two on your funny boyfriend list. Mm. I think that would really bother me. Yeah.
Oh, what if it was a woman who had dated multiple comics? And you were, and
I don't
you were
think,
a chuckle fucker,
I don't think I'd be interested in the first place.
So they have to think that you're the funniest person that they ever knew.
They at least have to tell me that.
Oh, wow.
Like, she can think someone else is funny.
This is how you're going
to
end up with someone stealing from you again.
Just lie to me.
First the lying, then the stealing.
Look, let's be honest. All we all want in relationship is nice lies.
No.
Yeah, we do.
No.
Truth.
Yes, we.
That's what you want, Adam.
No. Well, that's what I want, yeah. And I think if you were really honest with yourselves, that's what you want as well.
No.
I got to be honest.
I love harsh truths.
Yeah, I've dated two guys in a back-to-back that, like, my ex of 7 years and then the person I'm dating now, like, very brutally honest, but in a way that I'm like, I appreciate that.
Right, okay, so let me ask you this. You're at a party with your partner now and the topic of sex comes up for whatever reason and someone says to him, who is the best sex you've ever had? If he in front of you went, oh, Melissa, who I dated like last year.
Yeah.
that if that was the truth, do you want that truth, or would you rather him go, oh, it's absolutely Christina?
You know what? I would want the truth, because I would go, why was it so good? Because I'll steal her moves. I've had three waves with my last boyfriend where this girl just very blatantly sucked my boyfriend's dick better than I could have ever done. And I watched it, yeah, and he like came right away, and I was like, oh, okay. But and I felt my heart go, wait, did she suck your dick better than me? And clearly she was doing a great job. But what I did was I go, all right, Christina, you're either gonna bitch and moan about this and be fucking cunty to your boyfriend and not say why and do all that passive aggressive bullshit, or you're gonna steal her moves and carry on with your life. And that's exactly what I did. She had some good moves.
I think the only problem in this scenario that you presented, like, to me, the problem is that the third party, which is everyone else at the event. So it's like, yes, I want you to lie in front of other people, but I don't want you to lie in front of me.
Right.
To me, it's like
don't embarrass me in
front
of
people. We need to have a pact that we are each other's number one, like, in public spaces. It's like, I would never embarrass
you. Yeah.
I would always have someone's back in, like, an argument, even if I thought they were fighting for the wrong cause in public, and then behind closed doors, I'd be like, the fuck's your fucking moron if you ever embarrass me like that. In public again.
So you would want your partner to be like, right, look, we're having great sex and stuff, it's all good, but my ex-girlfriend used to do this, and I think if you did it, that
yeah,
if
she was thinking honestly, of it, yeah. Yes, 100%.
If that's a move that turned him on, I'd be like, give me that move. I want to know it. And okay. If I could want to do it. Yeah.
Smart guy would present it without actually naming the ex-girlfriend. He would just bring up the move, but that's like,
do you know what I really like?
Man
I like
being
this.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay. I don't want someone like thinking of like days that were, you know, like I don't want them like daydreaming about better sex with someone else because they're too afraid to like hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I think you both are very confident and secure.
Yeah,
I think,
we've been told.
Yeah.
But
you've
the
got,
thing
you've
is,
got my undying respect because you are I've, so much more emotionally mature than I am.
Well, I feel like I've been so emotionally immature, like in front of a camera or on a microphone for 10 years. Like, you know, when your fucking actions and the way you think about things, you analyze it and it gets kind of picked apart by people who listen to you. You do go, all right, is there any truth to all this shit that people are yelling at me about? You're like, I'm just big on self-improvement. You know what I mean? Like personal improvement.
Yeah.
And if I'm not improving, I might as well die. Like I don't want to be here, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
not that every day you have to be better, but I'm always interested in ways that I can enjoy my life more. And I gotta be honest, having being secure in yourself, if you kind of have to, for me, Corinne was always secure in herself, I kind of had to fake it for a while because I'm like, I don't know how to do this, but after faking it, you kind of get used to it and you're like, eh, I kind of do like this. Better way to live.
I don't think anyone's ever gotten more secure and been like, I hate this. Yeah.
I'm pretty secure in my idea of myself, but it's when
your idea of yourself,
who I think I am, and I don't really want to know who I actually am because I'm scared of knowing what that is.
That's a very complex statement you just made.
Wow.
So you just said I lack self-awareness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But willingly.
But ignorance is bliss, isn't it? Like, I'm well,
not, not for the others in your life.
Yeah, I totally. But I fuck that. Them. I'm trying to be okay in my head.
Right, right.
Well, interesting approach.
It is this thing where you cling on to the lies you tell yourself like a fucking life jacket on the Titanic, and you're like, if this crumbles, what am I? What is to become of me? But I gotta say, you do rise from the ashes. So if you ever wanted to give it a try, I think you're gonna a lot of crying. But eventually you'll feel better.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go to therapy at the start of this year. And I contacted the therapist and it took her 6 weeks to reply.
Oh,
and then she was
wow.
like, yeah, we could probably get you in next week. And then I was like, yeah, cool. And then it took her 2 weeks to go, oh, sorry, I missed that one. And I was like,
oh, that's fucking awful.
I'm trying here. Yeah. I'm trying to deal with this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other therapists, though. Yeah, I feel like you walked into that and you're like, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy that it wasn't actually going to be helpful.
Yeah, totally. But like, I've made the step and the world hasn't get...
I sent two emails. Yeah, but the thing is, if you go on one shitty Tinder date, you don't go, oh, fuck women, dating sucks, I'm done.
Right. I mean, some men do.
It's because you want, well, yeah. But if you want pussy, you're going to keep trying. So I'm saying, like, you know.
And then you found your new girlfriend, and you go, I don't need therapy.
Yeah.
No, I do want to go because there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and your inkling is likely correct that, like, ooh, I got some stuff brewing in here. You might as well. How is therapy treated? Like, is there a stigma in England with therapy and, like, men going, or is that coming around?
It's sort of coming around. I think sort of 5 or 10 years ago, if you said to, like, your mate, to your friend, like, oh, I'm going to therapy, they'd be like, what? But now I think it's like, oh, they'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's just becoming more and more common. Yeah.
That's great.
Do you feel like you fully healed from, I know you say in the special that you had a fully heal from allegedly being stolen from to tell the story, but like in reflection now, do you fully feel like you really did heal, or?
I think I am now.
Yeah.
But in the special, I say I could never have told the story until I was over it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think I was over it until I told it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's stuff like that, too. Sometimes it just, one day you're walking down the street and it just hits you different. And you're like, fuck, I thought I was cool with this. And it just, something comes up, you know?
Yeah. I've made me peace with it because I'm like, it wasn't really anything to do with me.
Right. Sure. Like, even like when someone cheats on you, that's on them.
It feels
very personal.
Like, it feels like it's on you, but like, I've got to a point where I'm like, that was not my issue.
Right.
And I'm better off now. I was better off single. Yeah. I'm definitely better off now with the girl I'm seeing because she's great.
Yeah.
And I look back at that relationship and go, oh, there's like 7 or 8 red flags that I just ignored because I was really attracted to this girl and things were, you know, really interesting.
And you want things to be going well, especially when you're with the person. You're
and like, you ignore just... stuff. But like, it's quite interesting, like, because I've got this habit. If something happens, I want to understand it. So I read up on financial infidelity a lot.
Oh, interesting. What did you find out?
There's a lot of common markers in people who do it.
Oh, like what are
they? Yeah, we never talked about this before.
So it's like lack of close friends. Tick.
Oh, weird.
Like attitude towards work is like, I don't really want to fucking work for a living. Like, it's really,
well, that makes sense.
Like that.
Yeah. What did it explain? What the lack of close friends has to do?
What the correlation?
Like psychologically,
I think
it?
It's because
shame, maybe.
Like it's a combination, I think, of shame and also they don't ever get close enough to someone because they fuck up their relationships.
Mm. Oh, I see.
They always end up like fucking up at the friend stage rather than the best friend stage because, and then they get distant from people because they've got it in them to, it's a selfish thing.
Right.
To do it, you have to be pretty selfish and pretty me.
Yeah.
So
it
makes it difficult to get close to people.
Okay. Wow. And then what are other things?
I can't remember them all, to be honest with you, but like I remember reading, so I read like 4 articles of like 15 signs of financial infidelity in a person. And I looked at like my partner who'd done it to me and I was like, oh, she hits like 5 or 6 in every article.
Wow.
But the one that's in every article is lack of close friends.
Weird. Wow. That's so interesting. It's interesting. I never thought of that term, financial infidelity.
Yeah.
So fascinating.
Well, your story actually reminded me, I don't know if you know, a similar situation happened with Kathy Griffin and her first husband. He was stealing for like, I mean, like, tens of thousands of dollars via her ATM card. Like he would go to different ATMs and like that's why they got a divorce over the course of a period of time.
Damn, wow. That's so hard. That's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But it really is. And this is where for me, self-esteem, I used to take it. I used to take so everything personal. Like, you fucking look at me weird. I'm like, what did I do? and it was just so exhausting. And so that's the fake it till you make it self-esteem method that I was trying to teach myself. And it eventually worked. But one of the great benefits is you just don't take things personal. And when something like that happens to you, like, it's your first instinct to take it personal because it's your fucking partner, right? Yeah. Like, it's so, you really got to, even the most secure person in the world has to, like, really, you know, separate themselves from their partner's actions. So it's like, that's one of the benefits if you do decide to go to therapy, if you get given another whack with reaching out to somebody.
Yeah, I'm going
to
do. There's loads of stuff like that I want to talk about, like, to a therapist about sort of childhood and like my relationship with alcohol. Like, I consider myself a social drinker.
Yeah.
Because both my parents were at home alcoholics. Like, my mum drank a bottle of vodka a day.
Holy shit. And that's real traumatic. It's for a kid to watch.
That eventually is what took her.
I'm sorry.
And then like in my head, I'm like, as long as I don't drink at home on my own,
right,
I'm fine.
Yeah.
But then I'm getting like these hangovers where I'm like, it's debilitating me for 2 days.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
that's also just being in your 30s.
Yeah, but, totally. But like,
but you don't want to be drinking. It's like, why are you going out drinking then if that's the
quote, yeah, yeah. I've always been a big social drinker.
Yeah.
And now, like, when I'm having a pint, I'm like, I am deleting hours of my life.
Yeah, right.
Because tomorrow, for every drink I have tonight, tomorrow's going to be more difficult. I'm just not going to do stuff.
Right. So then that's when it becomes a problem, when it really infringes upon your life.
Yeah.
Like,
I won't even send a fucking email hungover.
Yeah.
I can't look at
me. Well, we know how hard sending an email is for you.
Yeah. To hold that. It takes a lot of work. You had to put that on your to-do list for weeks.
I also just looked it up, and they did a 2022 study, and it says like 43% of adults admit to financial infidelity.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever done anything that you would consider or have it happen?
Some financial
infidelity
is when like you buy something on somebody's car.
Yeah, let's like, okay. So
I bought things on my boyfriend's car when we were dating, my last boyfriend, because he had money and I just didn't, but I told him.
So it says financial infidelity is spending money, possessing credit or credit cards, holding secret accounts or stashes of money. See, that to me is like just
smart.
That's smart. Yeah. borrowing money or otherwise incurring debt without the knowledge of one's spouse, partner or significant other. It includes any decisions that affect the financial plan in the relationship.
That's if you're married though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean like, you know, but like for instance, like, you know, under this very vague umbrella, like the story that Shane Gillis told about buying a house and not telling his girlfriend.
Technically.
Like,
right.
I mean, but I wouldn't consider that financial infidelity.
No, that's not financial infidelity.
They're not even married.
As I understand
it.
Like,
yeah. And you're not really all, which is weird that you
buying
buy a house
something with your own money and not telling your partner is not financial infidelity.
Yeah. I think that everyone should have a secret bank account.
Yeah.
Man or woman. I think it's actually like, crazy not to.
Is it common in the UK for a couple, like married couples, to share a bank account?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like a joint account. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll also have their own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense for like joint expenses.
You have your own.
So you got like a joint checking account, like the bills come out of that, but then you also have your own money.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing is though, like both people have access to those statements. So it's like, if you're going to do something, I mean, yeah, I guess if you know that your partner just doesn't look, then you just sneak
that
in
was
there.
A big thing for me because I don't really look.
Yeah. I don't. And sometimes I don't either. Yeah. Which I should, because I've had like transactions. I'm like, oh, whoopsies. That wasn't me who did that. Fuck, that was $500. Yeah. I don't think
I guess someone could have stolen from me and I wouldn't know either.
Right.
Sometimes if I have like cash out, I mean, it couldn't have been a very big amount of money, but it could, like someone definitely could have stolen a couple $100 from me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
just
don't
know the answer to that. I've never given someone else access to my bank cards, though.
It just like,
I have.
Like, it just like, made sense like, for her to have mine. Because like, I'd be driving. She'd be like, can we go to the theme park? I'd be like, yeah, book it. Use my card.
Yeah.
I've given it to like assistants and stuff. And that, you know, they just like forget to stop, you know, subscriptions to things. So that's gone wrong.
Have you ever been cheated on?
Sort of. But not really.
What does that mean?
There was a girl that, like, she'd come back from London and we were like, we're going to make a thing of this. And then we hadn't really become official. And then we had a little argument. And at the time, she lived with her ex-boyfriend.
Ooh.
And that night after that little tiff.
Fucked him.
She fucked him.
She got revenge.
So and that was, like, more of a man move, but yeah.
And then, like, a couple of weeks later, we were all out. Like, I was out with her. He ended up in the same place.
Oh.
And, like, he got really, like, annoyed. And I was like, what's pissed him off? And she's like, he's annoyed because I'm sat like with you. And I was like, what? Why? You haven't been with this guy for 2 years. And she was like, oh, well, when we had that fight, like, and I just went, do me a favor, just don't ever talk to me again. And I just left and I haven't
seen. Wow.
It seemed like an aggressive response on your end.
Well, because you were on your way to being
exclusive. That's aggressive to say, don't talk to me, I'm leaving.
I feel like it was. Well, you hadn't locked it down yet.
Yeah, but like, it was a much more complicated situation than like that initial three sentences gives you. But like, it was just, I just don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
Like, Have you lived with this guy? Like, just go and do
that's
this thing.
Weird. Yeah. That's weird that they still live together.
Have you ever cheated?
Once.
How'd it go?
Awful.
Yeah.
Just absolutely awful. And just, like, if I get, like, bad hangover anxiety, like, it's something that, like, is in my head. Going,
yeah.
Oh, you did this years ago, but you...
Oh, so you didn't tell the person? I told the guy right away. I was like, I can't live with this. I'm sorry.
No, it came out quite quickly.
Oh, okay.
But the thing was just never the same again. We tried, but it was just never the same.
Yeah, because sometimes infidelity can like make a relationship stronger. Sometimes it's the relationship was on its way out. So
and it was a drunken kiss. Like it was a kiss. Yeah.
What are you 12?
That's still
wait,
cheating. That's still
and
cheating.
This is okay. Wait.
For me,
you got to send more emails. This is still haunting you to this day.
It just because I know how much it upset the person I was with.
Okay, but yeah, then you hurt, so she also needs to send an email. But then, so then, do you think that part of it is like? Do you think in your mind this is your reasoning? Had you not done that, do you think like that could have been a prosperous relationship with that woman?
Maybe, but I also think. We were actually fundamentally a bad match. Okay. I didn't find that out until long after that.
Yeah, you look back.
Like at the time, I felt like I was madly in love with the scale.
Yeah.
And it just, seeing someone so hurt.
Yeah.
And not having this, like sort of, I think I've worked on myself quite well over the past few years and I've still got problems and stuff. But at the time, I was sort of not ready to deal with what I'd done. And your reaction is what a lot of, men and friends of mine have gone, oh, you get over the kiss. Like a drunken kiss.
A drunken kiss. I don't even know if it would even ruin the night.
Wow. I don't want that.
I mean,
I don't want my boyfriend kissing.
Yeah.
That's so intimate.
But it was just one of those things. And at the time, I think I could see how upset she was. And that really bothered me. But at the same time, I sort of had your attitude.
It's also being in your 20s, though. I think if I in my 20s, that would have upset me a lot more than now in my 30s.
Yeah. Right.
And especially adding the drunken element for me, it's like I've had friends that got drunk and tongue kissed someone, a stranger's dog in a bar. You know? Like very meaningless. That person's an alcoholic in recovery now.
Good for them.
But I mean, kind of what I'm saying. Like, it's just like I could like, when I'm drunk, I could like make out with almost anyone and enjoy it. It's like completely meaningless.
Right. That's true.
That's because for me, it's all about like the meaning. That's all it is.
Totally. And I don't beat myself up over like the fact that happened as much as how I didn't have the ability to make it right.
Right.
Because I was too young and immature.
You didn't have the tools. Yeah.
I didn't have the ability to go, do you know what? I'm going to do whatever you need me to do to make you feel okay again.
I was like,
I'm going to try, but I can't.
But like, if someone's that upset, I also think like the part of cheating that we don't talk about is that like, yeah, you should do things to make it better. But like sometimes when people are cheated on, they're just never going to forgive you no matter how many hoops you jump through.
Yeah.
And I do think there is a threshold of hoops that someone should be expected to jump through to make good on cheating.
Yeah.
Especially when it's, I can't take this seriously. I don't think kiss. I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long you were together when that happened, but whatever. It's like throw away the whole thing over that. Again, I'm not going to give someone like, you know, a trip to the treasure chest because they did it, but... I don't know.
Adam, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
What would you like to promote? Where can we find you?
Go and watch the special that we spoke about, Juicy. There's also, I dropped two specials in 2 months. Juicy came out in February, Imperious, which is a much more traditional hour of stand-up.
Yeah.
Shot in a big room in Liverpool. That's out as well. And if you're in the UK or Ireland, I've just announced my tour. Runs from October to March.
Nice. Very cool.
AdamRowe.co.uk.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show and for being vulnerable and telling all those fictional stories about fictional people.
About some bitch who didn't even exist.
We love them. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Stuck in a loop and lost in your thoughts, and you keep dancing around how you feel. When it comes to the surface, it's 1,000 degrees. No way to let it out, no way to heal. You're not broken, not worth to think you are. You're not cursed, you're meant for the stars.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.